This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show.
Good morning and welcome again to the Carol Cox Show. We're back on KWAI here, 1080. And if you'd like to call in, please feel free to do so. As I told you last week, we have former council member Rod Tam, and he's here live in the studio with me. And 524-1080 if questions, and we're going to be talking about a number of things. And hopefully from all of this, we can learn a lot more. My purpose of getting him here is that I'm always hoping to see if someone will share with us what goes on behind the scene. It's like the Wizard of Oz. We want to see just how tall the big man is or how little the big man is. But anyway, feel free, and nothing's off limits, and Mr. Tam is willing and able to talk about many of the issues. So 524-1080. Good morning, Rod, and thank you for joining me.
Hey, good morning, Carol, and I want to thank you for being a people's advocate in government affairs.
Well, thank you. And you're probably the first government person that ever acknowledged that.
Well, you know, you're true blue, and hard to find people like you.
Yeah. So, when we say Rod Tam, you coined the term Lightning Rod Tam, but it's almost as if you are a lightning rod for some of the comments that have been out there about your recent escapade with or problems with the court systems. And you want to speak to that briefly?
Yeah. You know, I chose that slogan, Lightning Rod Tam, when I ran for mayor, and because I am bold. Very frankly, I come up with things, and unfortunately, there were some number of people that didn't want me to run. But, you know, I experienced something very unfortunate in the past year, and I want to apologize for my bookkeeping errors of the $670, which I did reimburse last year to the city, and a $2,000 penalty. And the judge found that he wanted to discipline me more. And that's fine. You learn from experiences, as I have learned in terms of to the religion of Buddha. And you move on in terms of your life. But today I really want to focus in terms of having more of an insight into government.
Right.
People are frustrated with government. And they want more accountability. So that will be the highlight of our discussion in terms of with the different individual issues surrounding that.
Well, you raised my curiosity when you talked briefly about the rail system. We'll talk about that in depth or to whatever degree you wish to engage. About the trips to Japan and how Mufi Hanuman was lobbying you and his staff was lobbying you. So we'll talk about that, and I hope that...
Sure.
I think we'll be a little closer to understanding why we should be objecting to this rail. Anyway, the government, the state of affairs right now is that government is not being held accountable, and then they don't feel that they are accountable to us as people. How do we fix that, and where did it start?
Well, you know, you have to figure out in terms of these government officials high up there in their executive chairs, they have the knowledge of how government works. And yet, we all basically learn about government when we're in school, from elementary school, middle school, and high school. But you know what? Reality is a different thing. And those in executive chairs have made it different, where they can empower themselves. And that's what we're here to talk about. And basically, here's the problems with government. You know, elected officials do not truly represent their constituents. And we all take an oath of office, but do they really mean to stand behind the meaning behind it? It's very questionable. You know, actions show it, basically, how they embrace it or not. And secondly, elected officials not having a basic understanding and sincerely following the intent of the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the State of Hawaii Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to find out whether they have an understanding is to ask them specifically about parts of the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the State of Hawaii Constitution. If they cannot respond, and basically, then you wonder, are they truly representing you?
So how would you describe, let's say, the most recent, you were in the House, were you?
I was in the House, represented for 12 years, mm-hmm. the Senate for 8 years, mm-hmm. and the City Council for 8 years.
Being the most recent that you served in the City Council, how would you describe, in your honest opinion, how would you describe the City Council and the City Administration, the current one and the one that you worked in before? Do you think it's representative of the people and responds to the people as the consistent with the Constitution?
Well, let me say this. There's a formality of public hearings,
mm-hmm.
but it's only a formality.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe, and I have done so, you go out into the community and you find the answers to your decisions. And then, you know, you have to ask in terms of each respective council member, how many times they go out into the community,
mm-hmm.
talk story with them in terms of at their homes or having a coffee, something, the local way of doing relationships, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can respond to, you can answer yourself, basically. So I'm asking the people out there, ask your council member if they're willing to get out of their office behind their desk and talk story with you. Besides going to the neighborhood board, you know, it's a formal neighborhood board that doesn't open up to communication. It's a
right.
formality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you know, some listeners are probably sitting there going, wait, this guy had these problems, and now he's telling us about the government, and that's a giant crevasse to jump over. You're not really trying to ignore the circumstances of the court situations, are you? This is a legitimate, as you've described to me, a legitimate concern of yours and has been for a while. Is that right?
Yes. And, you know, quite frankly, one who has been in the state legislature and the city council, I got lobbied.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel comfortable with lobbying by mm-hmm. special interests.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out into the community.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure there's a great danger in this town, and I've spoken about your case on my show here and this program. So what I've said is that I believe that, and I'll say it while you're in the presence of you and publicly again, I believe you were targeted by the system because you didn't carry their water as they wished to. Would that be an accurate? And there's some great danger in this town, you know. Well, now they have something over you. You're still on probation. There's a reluctancy on the part of many people to not speak out. But you don't have a problem with that. What do you think?
Well, I don't have a problem speaking out. In terms of, after all, it's your right to speak out. It's
mm-hmm.
a matter of government called democracy, the
mm-hmm.
freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you know, you're right. You know my history. I've been targeted for 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
By campaign opposition and also two death contracts in the past. And one was relating back to 1982 when I ran for the House of Representatives. I got involved previously in the Hornet Street opposing the development of 122 condominium mm-hmm. off of Kukini. And it went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So the next year when I ran for office, there was a contract on me.
Mm-hmm. Contract out on you.
Right, right. And then after, about a year and a half ago, I got involved in the Kukui Gardens issue. I stopped in terms of demolishing of the Kukui Gardens for affordable rental units. And I didn't realize that how big target I was by developers and some elected officials and so forth. And, well, basically, I ruined the opportunity to make money,
mm-hmm.
to put it in a nutshell. Then I got involved in preventing the crime in Chinatown. I thought it was more small crime, like prostitutes and, you know, burglary, robbery, and, mm-hmm. drugs here and there. But it was actually crime from California.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, with this current issue, the legal issue, for example, we see, I know factually, and I've pointed them out, that people like Mufi Hanuman, former Mayor Mufi Hanneman, committed a number of violations, and we know them to be true, but there is no punishment, and I'll point out a few of them as we go. Why do you think you were taken, and is it to make an example? I've described it as using you to make an example and share with the public that they're doing their job, but I won't say the real thieves, because then I would be saying you're the thief as well, but the ones that are committing crimes against the people in the people's trust seem to play revolving door in and out of politics. Hanneman, I mean, just as easy as it could be said, he's back in the politics, and we hear now, but no one holds him accountable. He hasn't been prosecuted. Jeremy Harris, do you think, in comparison, on scale, and I that's kind of a question one will say, what do you think he's going to answer? But what do you think? Do you believe that, looking at those cases in comparison, to do wrong is to do wrong, but we don't want to sit here and minimize. But do you think that you have unfairly been singled out?
Well, for sure, everybody knows, and I've been told by many people, that I am an independent person. I'm an advocate for the people out there. And I believe strongly in civil rights. You know, you look in terms of other people who have the same beliefs in the past history, I've been told they've been targeted.
Mm-hmm.
So people have to make their own judgment from there. And, I only can speak in terms of what type of character I am.
Do you think the media has given you complete access and fairness, or have you been portrayed as this villain of sort, or you violated the people's trust? Do you think that they gave you the proper opportunity to respond to this, or do you think they were just to show you as being portrayed you as what they wanted to portray you?
Well, you know, I have told the news media in the past and openly,
mm-hmm.
during the legislative sessions, to be fair, present both sides, and they got upset with me, quite
mm-hmm.
frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm no friend of theirs. And you know, when they presented my court case of the $670 of overage,
mm-hmm.
and being reimbursed for that, and when I found out the bookkeeping error, I was told that I reimbursed it. But they said it was thousands of dollars
mm-hmm.
that I had received back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not true. But the court records will show that it was $670.
Mm-hmm. Well, as I've said here again, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but with the case of Chuck Todd, and we won't dwell on it because there's other things, especially the real issue in your travels with Hanneman and what have you, and I think the public, because I was not familiar with this and couldn't find it in papers that you had gone to Japan to visit some of the plants with Hanneman, but we'll talk about that later. And when I went to file the complaint against Charles DeJew, the councilman member and former congressman, for his travels to Japan and the trash behind the who paid it and what have you, and the radio station, another radio station owner had affiliated with the station, paid his way, and he took his son, and Chuck Todd covered it up. I'm not going to mince words, he covered it up. He did everything not to pursue it. And then made the mistake of sending me the wrong document, which showed. But when Todd Oppo, when I presented your case, and I've said this on the show, when I presented the case against the Jew to go in and to meet with him, he was ecstatic about, he said he had gotten you. He had you. Rotan finally got the goods. But he covered up for the Jew, and then Todd Oppo at the same time, he wasn't interested in that either. He drug that out and let Todd Oppo manipulate and get out of and resign and what have you. But Oppo had already been found in violation of ethics rules on Coalina on a matter that I had filed and then another matter. Why do you think it happened that way? When he was excited and ecstatic to get you, but goes out of his way. I have a case before him right now where Hanneman uses illegally, and I have the recordings where the secretaries are saying we were used and appointed by to work at the campaign headquarters for Hanneman. He's dragging his feet as if someone put a 50,000-pound anchor around his feet. But on you, is there another case?
Well, basically, you know, the records have shown in the past when I was city councilman, I did question Chuck Tuttle.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of some of his proposals for legislation and,
mm-hmm.
and thinking in terms of the so-called employee basis, you know, because he investigates in terms of allegations mm-hmm. of employees and made verbally a lot of times, and sometimes he was very defensive. And
mm-hmm.
I guess the other colleagues didn't question him. And I didn't mean to antagonize him, but I guess, you know, some people don't like to be questioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as case may be, after I left the city council this year, early part of this year, Chuck Tuttle to the mayor, Peter Carlisle, introduced Bill 10,
mm-hmm.
Saying that his subpoena powers do not have to have any check and balance at all. He can subpoena for any reason without giving a rational basis of it. And fortunately, the city council killed that piece of legislation because HGA, mm-hmm. The Government Employees Association, spoke out for the union members who work for the city
mm-hmm.
and say, wait a minute, if you're going to subpoena anybody or in some kind of records, basically we want to know why. Right? And you don't want them to intimidate themselves.
Mm-hmm. So I think get away from this, but you're there's an issue about unemployment, and share with the listeners. You're on occasion, along with your family, your brothers, sisters, or wife, whomever, caring for your elderly mother, right?
Yeah, you know.
Explain that. I don't need to ask the question.
Well, fortunately, you know, my family is very close. I
mm-hmm.
have a brother and a sister. My father. My mother has dementia, what they call Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And we all chip in to help out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in terms whereby you're required to do so.
Mm-hmm.
We'll set certain hours and so forth. We help when we can.
Mm-hmm.
And it was brought out in a court case, to people who supported me that, hey, you know, Rod Tam needs to take care of his mother.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, any type of discipline, consider that, right? And they want me to take care, and Rod feels for his mother, too. Incarceration a long time will you know, affect the family emotionally, right? So what happened is right after the court case was settled on November 1st, about a week later, I received a letter from the State of Hawaii Unemployment Division questioning me
mm-hmm.
whether I had been available for unemployment, right? Because that's the key there. If you can collect unemployment, if you're available, and I've been looking for a job, it's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
The news media has made it a nightmare for me, quite frankly. And, you know, people say there's no job, and so forth, but then, you know, this town is small.
Right.
And when you ask people, you say, hey, but what are your court cases? Is it still outstanding and so forth? But, you know, and of course they can't use that during an interview, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
they hint around it, basically. And, so, anyway, the employment agency asked if I was available, but they asked me a number of questions and so forth, and I responded, yes, I'm available,
mm-hmm.
and I help out in terms of taking care of my mother, and, you know, simple things like brushing her teeth, and, you know, mm-hmm. putting her on the toilet. And
now, one of the things that I'll share with you, a great many people say, well, why should his sentence, and why should there be leniency because he has a parent that is sick and or ill, or why, you know, what do you say to that? You're an opportunity for you to just respond to that, because that was what I read in the paper occasionally, and then the people would say to me, you know, well, why should we consider him caring for his mother in issuing this, deviling out a sentence? What response?
Well, the judge, Randall Shintani, made it opportunity for people to give supporting the
mm-hmm.
testimonies and so forth, and that was brought out, and the decision was solely made by Judge Randall Shintani in terms of the type of discipline against me
mm-hmm.
for my errors.
And others have been given favoritism. I think if you look in the records of Kalani English, for example, I think there were some issues with drugs way back, and he gets to clean his records of the senator. You know, so it's not a rare occasion to show. And then great many people get consideration for a lot of things. So I just wanted you to speak to that. But let's move on to, and if the listeners have questions, feel free. I don't want to try and answer every question for them or ask. And the rail.
Yes.
First of all, what you know now and what you knew, you voted for it. Would you vote for it again?
And
if you would.
Our economy is in bad shape,
mm-hmm.
you know, and many people are unemployed. And let me address in terms of unemployment in general. The statistics show in terms of certain percentage, but let me bring it awareness in terms of to the public. Unemployment numbers are much higher than mm-hmm. what it is presented by the state of Hawaii. And the reason is much higher because those who cannot collect unemployment compensation are not counted as statistics when they're unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
So you look upon in terms of people say, well, the street people, the homeless and so forth, yeah, many of them are unemployed, but they're not counted as part of the statistics of being unemployed because they're not receiving compensation. So the number is much higher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically, if it was done today, and I was a city council, I'd be honest with you, I wouldn't vote for the rail.
Mm-hmm.
Our economy is really in bad shape. And, you know, at the time when they came up for a vote, we were going okay. You know,
mm-hmm.
We're, you know, not super rich in terms of the city. But, you know, you had that 0.5% tax and we're doing okay. We had projections, and projections for construction. Then it became evident in terms of, oh, what about operating expenses? What about maintenance expenses? What's going to happen on that? You know, and then at this day and age, now I'm out in the community more because I'm not mm-hmm. really working. You think about it in terms of at City Hall. So people talk to me more. and they told me, wow, you know, I have a hard time paying my property tax. Is the property tax going up? I'm sorry. I'm not in office anymore. And they said, but the rail is going to put a burden on me financially. I'm going to have to sell my home, and I paid up for it, and especially senior citizens. So what's going to happen? I said, well, I'm sorry to say that, you know, people are going to have a hard time in paying the property tax, and the city and county is going to take me off property if you don't pay your property tax.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And by law, they can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So times are hard. And I would say, let's delay the rail at this time. No.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show. My guest is former council member Rod Tan. And 524-1080 is the number if you're interested in talking to Mr. Tan or questions. Good morning, Paul. A comment or question for Mr. Tan?
Just a comment. Mr. Tan, you know, I remember about 15 years ago, you came with your constituents to a house in Nuuanu to a protest for a woman's clean and sober house. And I remember your exact words were you didn't want these kind in their neighborhood. And I just wanted to say, you know, that statement that you made that day affected a lot of people for a long time. And, you know, there were women trying to get themselves together. And, it's just, you know, what comes around goes around. That's all I can say. And you're just as guilty as the next man. Thank you.
Thank you, Paula. You want to respond to it?
Well, I think that was in regards to what you had bed and breakfast issue.
Mm-hmm. Or clean and sober. Or something of that transition housing.
Yeah. And basically, Pete, most of the residents around there, homeowners said they didn't want it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's a big question in terms of building violations and so forth. And,
mm-hmm.
and
you're not against clean and sober houses. You just it was this your constituents said that they didn't want it, or
yeah,
you were
the bed and breakfast. It was like a hotel type of lounging.
Yeah, but I think this one with drug and recovery. I'm assuming when they say half women's halfway house. I don't think all.
Oh, that one. That one.
I don't think all women go to bed and breakfast.
Okay, that's another issue. I'm sorry, I got mixed up. That issue was in regards to off of Old Polly Road.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole neighborhood said that they didn't want that because there was some fear. And when we asked in terms of the police, how would you handle it, they couldn't respond. Right? And they were looking for, the neighborhood was looking for safeguards. Right?
Good morning. Call a comment, a question.
Hi, good morning, Mr. Cox. I regards to the caller prior. I believe that Mr. Tom has been targeted and he's been picked on. I couldn't imagine the rest of the council that were working with him over the years. I think that all of the rest of the people should all be audited. I really, truly believe that he is innocent and that he's been targeted for some reason by somebody. I just want to make the comment. I also would like to know what your true credential is, like, for instance, some attorneys that are working for the city. What is your credential, as well as what is your plan for future? Thank you very much for granting me this phone call. But I truly believe that he's been targeted.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you very much for calling. In regards to your first question, what is my background? I graduated from the University of Hawaii with a business degree, and specifically was in negotiation, personnel. But I also got into the area as a budget analyst. Now, a budget analyst does forecasts. A budget analyst doesn't do any bookkeeping or accounting at all. It is do forecasts based on rate of inflation and also the existing expenses and projected revenues. And in terms of my future, well, I'm looking for a job. And in the meantime, yes, I do assist in terms of some things like feeding my mother or brushing her teeth. And it's simple, the daily things and basically, but like, for example, I'm here at the radio station making this presentation. So I have family members that assist in terms of taking my mother also, too.
Okay. Ms. Rail, you say you wouldn't vote for it now because of many reasons and the economy and what have you. How did we arrive when you did vote for it? What were the factors that influenced you, and who? I understand you shared with me that Mufi Hanneman, the mayor, while the mayor actually himself personally lobbied you. Is that correct? And also his employees, or Joyce Olivero, who's now with Hart. Is that true?
Yes, and let me premise that by saying that my district, when I was a city councilman, is in the midst of Honolulu, from Kalihi Valley all the way to Makiki, and from mountain to ocean. So it's the core of the city. And traffic congestion is just great. The roads were terrible, and fortunately, there's one thing I was thankful I was able to complete in my last year and a half in the city council was get basically all the main arteries of the roads resurfaced in the city. But the traffic congestion was terrible. People were complaining, constituents would complain about traffic congestion. I myself, if living in the valley, didn't go down to City Hall until after 8:30 in the morning if I could, or before 7, because I didn't want to get into the jam traffic. Yes, the former mayor, Mufi Hanneman, did approach me, and also with his aide, Joyce Rivera, in terms of what I was for mass transportation. I said, yeah, mass transportation can be buses also, too. It's moving people in masses, basically. And because too many people are just a one person in the car, the driver himself. Then he said, well, how do you like to go to Japan? How do you like to go to the mainland and look at different type of mass transportation means. And I said, oh, that would be nice, you know. Sometimes at first hand, you see it and you get to understand more rather than only read. And so he took me, and many times, the two times that I went, I was the only one. I was kind of surprised that I was the only one.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've been approached over the number of years in terms of specifically the mass transportation issue as to various lobbyists. Lobbyists who represent various companies and so forth. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I was undecided, quite frankly,
mm-hmm.
as a type of mass transportation. But if you ask me today, basically because of the cost, you know, financial cost to the city and the taxpayers, I would say, well, it's of overburden.
Mm-hmm.
And what we can do is one simple thing, like I've seen in Taiwan, you have devoted bus lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, what about people who have to make right turns, right, in the right lane? They say, well, when you're 20 feet before you make your right turn, then you can get into the right lane. Otherwise, it should be used for buses. That way, the buses can move a lot faster. And people will say, well, it's more convenient for me to catch the bus because of the timeliness and also the cost is cheaper than using the car.
Mm-hmm. So you went to Mitsubishi's plant that makes steel rails. You viewed that,
right?
And did any of these plants? Well, we don't know because you've checked for the records. There was supposed to be a trip report made out by Hanneman after the visit, but we can't find one. Or maybe it's premature. We'll go look later. Tomorrow I'll call the city clerk's office and see if we can find that document. But he offered to fill out one, or submit one, correct?
He's required to do so.
Okay.
Every time he takes a trip, it's city expenses. And I went along with the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So he would include me into that write-up.
That write-up.
Yeah.
And you weren't provided a copy?
No.
So we don't know. And you can't recall the exact places that you toured. But Mitsubishi was one of them.
Yes.
Was it Sumitomo? Did you visit then any of them?
Yeah, I can't exactly remember. We moved so fast, and the former mayor Mufi was one who used every half an hour. Basically, it was from, say, 7:30 in the morning all the way to 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And how do you suppose this was paid for? You know, the half percent. Was that half percent, that's the only money that was available, if I'm not mistaken. Where did this money come from to lobby and to carry you and others to Japan and to the mainland? Where did that, did it come out of the half percent?
No, it came from the administration, the mayor's own budget.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Department of Transportation Service, you know.
So,
but mainly from the... In total, it came from the administration.
Is that legitimate? I don't know. I'm ignorant to this. But can the mayor use his administrative budget to lobby councilmen, to a council member or members, to travel and transport them and wine and dine them on a matter that he wished to implement?
I don't think I could say that he used it in terms of for city business. and then, you know, how they conduct the city business is a different matter, right?
Yeah, that's the danger of city business.
Right,
you're careful to prosecute them because they were doing it carrying on city business, even if they were robbing, stealing, cooking the books or what have you.
Yeah, it's just like any private businessman, they have a business expense.
Mm-hmm.
And they may take somebody out for coffee or for a lunch,
mm-hmm.
and they talk about it, but they use the business expense.
But they needed your vote. I know that Nestor, he was predisposed already. Just throw a little money in his path and just wave it, and he's going to... We've seen it now on Ansaldo.
Yeah.
And we've seen it at Kapolei, that his involvement in those. We know what he's about. He is the willing and able body in the city council to accept... attach his lips to any teeth that has going to give him money. We know that now. And but he went on one of the trips with you.
Yeah.
And we went to the mainland. And did Oppo go with you? Because Oppo was already in favor of this rail, too.
No.
He didn't go with you.
No, he didn't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
Oppo, a fellow former councilman of Poland and I were not that close, to be honest with you. And I tell you why, openly. Prior to being a city councilman, he was working for Jeff Stone, a developer in Kulima. And Jeff Stone had developed Kulima, but he had, I believe he had told the homeowners who bought property over there for homes that the landfill, Wamin Agosto, was going to be eliminated. And so he tried to keep his promise. And it's still there today, right? And there was contracts written and so forth. And so he had, at that time, Todd Apollo working on his staff and was lobbying against the landfill. And I was chairman for Public Works, which oversaw in terms of public work activities such as the landfill and wastewater and so forth. So I had public hearings, and he testified very clearly that they were opposed to the landfill in at Wamanana Gulch. Now, Jeff Stone, I know he wanted to get rid of that, you know, very much.
The landfill.
Yeah, yeah. So, and Todd Pohl held it against me, whereby I said on a temporary basis that Wamanana Gulch. Now, when Mufi Hanneman came in, he was supposed to find another site.
Yeah, he promised to, and
yeah,
alternatives.
He promised to, yeah, he
and
never did.
The alternative in
See, what happened is Jeremy Harris, as mayor, gave us five alternatives. Well, the five alternatives, I said, well, you know, people are fighting each other, they can't decide, and the hearings I had will do at Kapolei, Windward, downtown. It was a mixed bag of worms. So I asked each of the landowners to give me a business plan. Tell me what you guys are going to do in the private sector, right? Because some of it was private land. And, you know, we didn't want to be sued. The city didn't want to be sued. You know, if you take away private property, condemn it, there's going to be a lawsuit. It's going to end up in years. So you try to resolve it whereby it doesn't happen that way. So I said on a temporary basis, I think, and my colleagues agreed, all of them, that we go with Wamanana Gulch for a temporary basis. And then when Mufi came in, he started extending, extending. I guess the political heat was just too much for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, the political heat, I think, in my opinion, and I've always suspected this, the landfill was of minor concern to Hanneman. It was the tick on a dog's neck for him. The real thing that Hanneman was interested in was the rail. And I believe that if we were to look back, and we'll see why the landfill has failed so miserably in correcting it and managing it, the incidences of spills and what, and all of that. He loosely operated that because it was his bastard child. It was a stepchild for him.
Yeah, his focus was being
rail.
Yeah.
And people should incorporate that thinking. So very sly and coyish. And one of the things where I'm still a little puzzled is why you, and as I say on the show here, if a man does a crime, then he should do the time. Even if I do it, I believe that I should pay for the suffer the consequences if I violate the law. But in this case, Todd Apollo was managing Coalina's affairs against the landfill while serving as a city councilman, and it has been spoken to where he were in conflict. That in itself should have been cause to have him sanctioned, thrown out of the council or something. No action. Why?
Well, I only could tell you in terms of what I experienced and you know, in terms of those cases and individual, it can be an investigation. But for me, I know that I've been independent. And I've had opposition for the 28 years of service. Like I said, other candidates run against me, and I would see black limousines in the area, quite frankly. And then, like I said, there were two contracts against me. And, you know, I acknowledge my independence. And that's me, Rod Tam.
Now, would that explain why we've never seen you on the knee of Senator Daniel Inouye on Christmas time for your toys?
Oh, yeah, and you know, I guess I'm just not part of the group, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm a Democrat because philosophy-wise, I believe in...
You're poor thing. Right? No, I'm a Democrat.
But philosophy-wise, I believe in terms of the people, right? Mm-hmm. Rather than in terms of the so-called elitist rich, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
The basic social services, what have you. But yeah, I truthfully, I've never been part of the echelon of the Democrats.
Mm-hmm. Well, being careful not to suggest you should say something because you're bitter now and you're the one who got punished or what have you. What would you say to the public and how do we clean up? Let's start with the council and then let's talk about the current mayor as well. And if you would, how should the public approach this? You have the mic there.
Okay.
Teach us.
Great. You know, I want to show the insight in terms of government and mm-hmm. have a better democracy whereby people feel comfortable. It's their government.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in terms of executives who makes the decisions, basically. Even if you have the formality of public hearings, you know, but the decisions are really made beforehand. I mentioned in terms of problems, in terms of elected officials, but let me also state on a statewide, there is no short-term and long-term statewide goals and objectives of managing our state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People compare it with China. China, did you know, before Nixon opened the doors,
mm-hmm.
they had goals and objectives, plans of action, year to year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20-year plans. United States historically has never, and even the state of Hawaii has never had those kind of plans. We operate on a year-to-year basis, day-to-day, especially on the budget. There's no forecasts at all, basically. They say there's a capital improvement project of 5 years, but it really doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a lack of knowledge and experience in developing financial budget
mm-hmm.
from that of legislators, governor, and mayor. You know, as compared to what I experienced in the days of before, you know, people really look at it in terms of forecasts and so forth, but now it is not. Maybe it's difficult times too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I say you got to be out in the community to find out what's happening. You can't sit behind a desk and just read reports. Reports can be written by people who favor what they want to say. Yeah. You know? In terms of how to make government accountable to the people, there are several things to do. One is you have concrete understanding of tools of our government, the United mm-hmm. States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the State of Hawaii's Constitution. Now, you have also the federal state laws, but primary, is what I said, is the Constitution, Bill of Rights. Then you have, in terms of what needs to be done, at public informational administrative public hearings on a quarter basis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right now, it's a mystery. What our finances. We know we're in a deficit, but basically you read it through the newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
That's not sufficient. Have government administration bring out
on a quarterly basis.
We're stockholders, basically, in government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if people say, why don't government operate more like a business, prudently? Well, we should have quarter financial statements then, mm-hmm. publicly, so they can share and tell. We don't have that. Okay? That's in-house in terms of administration. Now, and it has been for a number of years. Then we should have public hearings on the financial status of the state and city on a quarterly basis also too.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, have public hearings on any proposed restrictions of the state and city's public services budget respectively by the governor and mayor before the restrictions are made. Our constitution, whether it be in the United States or the state of Hawaii, says that although the budget passes by the legislative branches, mm-hmm. federal government and state government, the governor and the mayor and the president of the United States can, without even mentioning it to anybody, restrict any type of budget they want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is dangerous, right? It can be in terms of prudently, or maybe you don't like somebody, or mm-hmm. you like a project, whatever, but they say, hey, I'm the God here.
Mm-hmm.
So, if I don't like the project, I'm going to strike it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, although it passed scrutiny of the public hearing process, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So, I say, before any authority can restrict the money on an approved legislative budget, mm-hmm. that person has to have public hearings and hear the voice of the people.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's puzzling with the response, not just with the city council, with the governor's office. They seem to be out of touch and don't want to be bothered. They want to tell us what it is that they're doing when they want us to know.
Yeah, and you know, for a number of years, I've been focusing on these four things, okay, in terms mm-hmm. of what to do to open up government more.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called embracing democracy.
Do you think that our leaders, as we see them now, have they embraced this or have they abandoned this and become selfish? Would that be too strong of a term?
Well, maybe to your show, they open their eyes now.
Well, I'm hoping yeah. that they do their hearts, mind, and ears, because we're really right now, we're sinking.
Yeah, and then you know what? When I was in the legislature in the state, and I got money for the schools for repairs, like new mm-hmm. roof and so forth, because the roof was damaged, and at various schools like My or Quanacore, and I told the PTSA, to say, now we got to make sure that the governor doesn't restrict the money. That was the time of Ariyoshi, basically, mm-hmm. and he was always restricting a lot of money. So what happened is people said, they didn't understand that. I said, well, it's in the Constitution. It allows the government to restrict money in it.
Mm-hmm.
And even some of my colleagues didn't understand that at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, basically because they don't understand the Constitution.
Well, we're coming down to the last few minutes, but you want to join me in the second hour for a bit?
Oh, yeah. I don't
Alrighty.
Mind.
And again, this is the Carol Cox Show, 524-1080. We'll be back shortly in the second half. My guest is Mr. Ra Tam, former city councilman. So those of you that might see me on the street and say, well, why didn't you ask him this? Mr. Tam is willing and able to respond. And so 524-1080, if I don't ask the question, then you don't want to know the answer. So call in if you'd like to.
To the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108.
Out of the world.
The second half of the Carol Cox Show, right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. Again, my guest here is former council member Rod Tam, and we're just talking, and we're talking about many things, and as I've said, I've invited any of you and all of you to call in 524-1080 if you have questions or one event, or tell him what you think of him, or what you, if you want to compliment him, whatever. He's not shy and not running from the bullet or anything. So, anyway, Rod.
Yes.
With the rail. Now, you went back to the mainland too. We were talking. You went to Japan, and this is all at the expense of Mufi Hanuman. So, where did you go on the mainland? To back there. And the same thing, to look at different...
Yeah, respectively, went to Portland, Oregon, and San Diego to get their mass transportation and experience riding it. But, you know, even when going to the mainland, I wasn't convinced, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, you experience in terms of what they have, but Hawaii is different. Their economy is different. Mm-hmm. Their ridership is different, right? And, you know, traffic congestion is different, right? And there's still the best mass transportation that we have and other cities favor is what we have now is called the bus system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they said that the buses need less congestion. That's why I say that the devoted right lane for them would be a perfect thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the rail goes through and be constructed, we should instigate in terms of the bus lane.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any insight for the people that are opposing the rail, and are you available if they... I mean, I can't pick your brain in the next 25 minutes, but I'm sure maybe there's something that they would be... Are you availing yourself to them to...
I'm available because now I'm a private citizen. I'm concerned. Hey, you know... We all have to pay taxes, whether by excise tax.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we don't express our concern, I can see the excise tax going up to another 0.5%.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a 1% in total. You know, it'll be over 5% when you think about it. But then, let me also say, that 5% excise tax is not a sales tax. It's a compounded sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, with 4.7 or so, you're paying about anywhere from 12% sales tax to 16% tax, depending on how many hands it changes. Now, from the time it's been manufactured good, they sell it to a middleman, basically, they charge a tax to that middleman. The middleman will pass on the tax to, say, the retailer, right? Okay, the retailer has, and the retailer will pass it on to the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it depends on how many hands it changes. It can go up, like I said, 12 to 16% currently.
Mm-hmm.
So people should not be fooled that, you know, 4.7 is a small number. It's not a small number. Many times we pay more sales tax in total than other cities are.
Mm-hmm. Now, someone say, well, how did you vote on that time? You're looking backwards. Did you vote for any of these taxes?
No. That tax, the 0.5% tax, was voted upon by the state legislature because they figured, well, there's a tax for the city and county of Honolulu to
right.
have their mass transportation. And
mm-hmm.
So, see, what happened by law, it's the state legislature that has command of the excise tax. It's not in terms of the city.
Mm-hmm.
The city only has command of part of the tax on gasoline, for
mm-hmm.
example,
mm-hmm.
but not in terms of excise tax.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question from Mr.
Good morning, Carol. Good morning, Rod.
Hey, good morning.
Rod, a little tiny bit off topic, but sort of related on the rail.
Yes.
I wonder, do you have any opinions about Governor Cayetano and his group that are suing?
You know, I'm kind of surprised. You know, unfortunately, we only know what's happening to the newspaper, the Star Advertiser. But let me say this. I'll be open about it, and they're gonna criticize me. You know, and that's why I say that I've been at odds with the Star Advertiser, okay? They don't present all the facts, right? So I don't know. I cannot really comment in terms of what the former Governor Cayetano is doing because I don't know. It's only bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces, perfect.
Right. Yeah, but I like to see in terms of the lawsuit itself, then I can tell really what they're trying to say, right? But, you know, basically, I know that the concern is not only construction costs, but the operating costs and the maintenance costs. Do we have a budget for that? I don't see any projected budgets. So I'm willing to help out in terms of that.
And they don't even know what the heck they're going to charge the folks for riding that silly thing anyway.
No, they don't.
I mean...
You know, right now, what is this? Is what, $2 one way, right? For a passenger and an adult, right?
Because
mm-hmm. You buy the bus pass and you pay a little less per ride on a monthly basis, but still, yeah, it's going to go up. There's no doubt about it. It has to go up because where's the maintenance money and administration money going to come from?
Yeah, the numbers just, I mean, God, there's just no numbers.
Yeah.
And you need numbers to work with, so I don't know.
By the way, you know the authority on the rail
mm-hmm.
that's under the city and county of Honolulu, they're exempt from the salary schedule of the city regular workers, civil service, so they get paid higher.
Oh, great. Just what we all wanted to hear, right? As if it wasn't bad enough.
And he took his crew with him, Bill Brennan, Joyce Oliveira, and many others, he being Mufi Hanneman.
Yeah, the crew of Mufi Hanneman, his administration, his cabinet, all got jobs within the rail.
Right.
Rod, I really appreciate you coming on Carol's show and, you know, kind of giving us all some insight and all that knowledge. I know you got locked up in
yeah.
on the top of your shoulders there.
Right. And you know, I made a mistake. I acknowledge it, the bookkeeping.
Oh, like who hasn't made
yeah.
mistakes?
Right. But, you know, basically, I people have to judge me for my character. And I know I've gotten into trouble in terms of being very liberal and outspoken. And there's a desire to hold me down in many times. And those family members, what I said, I was going to come on Carol Cox Show, they were concerned about me. They said, wow, repercussions will come up again. I said, you know, but it's a freedom of speech.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But also, in this town, anybody that's walking and breathing that's not carrying water for the Democratic Party or the Republicans, whoever,
has a target on their forehead and their back. Let's just face it. That's the way the game's played here. This is not a democracy. You know, I'm sitting here, I can give you a laundry list of people that should have been in prison and persecuted, should never be even allowed to walk by City Hall or the State Capitol. And they are now coming back, and the paper tell us that they're a good candidate for the job. So that's the rhythm in this town, right?
I got one last question.
Go for it.
Has anybody seen Jeremy Harris?
No, but I saw that beautiful home that he was, the advertiser and others were talking about, and it's kind of neat. I see him occasionally down at the park downtown by the zoo.
Oh, yeah.
With two children. Look like twins. I don't know.
Boy, he sure has stayed below off the radar, hasn't he?
Yeah, and you notice the guys that run the radar aren't looking for him either.
You know, he was supposed to run for governor. Then he was asked by the insiders of the Democrat Party not to run, because there was an investigation on him.
Oh, I remember all that,
and
sure.
He chose to not run, and then all of a sudden the investigation stopped him,
mm-hmm.
in terms of use of public funds.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, any other questions?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, here's what swells my head, and it's, I got a big head anyway, but is that we look at John Wahey, the incident at the cemetery.
Or the Valley of the Temples.
Yeah. No jail time, no nothing. What happened to that case, you know?
It's still lingering out there.
Lingering, yeah, but you, on the other hand, I think what it is that you failed to dip when you curtsy when it was time. But the funny part about this, Rod, is that where it's easy to try and understand some of it and say what I say, as volatile as it may sound, they're Democrat. And they're the ones that, on one hand, they give a pass to some, and then come to get you. And I guess Reen Muncher was a, right? She was prosecuted, right?
Yeah, she voted against the rail.
And Mirakatani, right? Now, not to engage in what they did, I'm not, but it just seems, but there are others that get a ticket to just walk amongst us and become statesmen.
Well, you know, it's not a matter whether you're Democrat or Republican.
Mm-hmm.
It's in terms of what your philosophy, your beliefs are. And I come to the conclusion that if you're independent, you know, there's going to be, you're going to be viewed in terms, you're going to be disliked and so forth. And,
mm-hmm.
But you're not part of the team.
Right.
And,
or willing to carry the water. You know, and that's typical. Your family, they have a legitimate concern to some degree, you know, in speaking it. But then it should stop there, because eventually you don't have to do anything in this town and they'll persecute you if they just need an example.
Well, I believe in my rights.
Right.
You know, the constitutional rights and,
mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned, right? Your rights by the federal government, and so I'm practicing.
Right. Well, you should, and I'm looking at, while we're talking, thinking about we last mentioned about the rail and Hanneman keeping his crew and putting them on the heart, and there's no outrage. I mean, yes, it's done, but there's no outrage. I mean, it's clear. We answered those contract. There's no real outrage. We, every step of the way, when we catch them, they patch it up, and still no outrage. We have a mayor who was a prosecutor, and boy, was I wrong. I thought, and it is my belief, when prosecutors become politicians, they come in and they clean up shop. This guy came in with a dirty rag and started wiping down the dishes, and everything is contaminated now. When did he get involved? Mayor Carlisle, when did this guy come in, just get rid of his prosecutor's hat and mentality and mindset and become part of the crew? And did you see it coming?
Well, I cannot speak for him in mm-hmm. terms of, and I don't like to criticize people.
Well, I'm not criticizing him. I'm trying to analyze him.
But
so
in terms of analyzing, all we know is that he hired on the former mayor, Mufi Hanneman's
mm-hmm.
cabinet members,
mm-hmm.
right, to work on the rail. But when people question in terms of financially,
mm-hmm.
Nothing has been done to prove otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
It's good that the city council is looking at it in terms of whether the contractee for the rail has sovereignty or not.
Yeah, but I mean, go back to the basic line. One company was rejected because they didn't have their contract and application or bid containing all things, yet Ansaldo didn't have things, and they are still here making great strides and efforts to accommodate them. I mean, enough is enough.
Well, let me say this. You know, when I was a state senator, I was chairing government operations,
mm-hmm.
which oversaw all 20-plus departments of the state of Hawaii. And what the focus was the procurement laws. I helped revamp it because it was in trouble, quite frankly, with the Baker Taylor, the library book contract before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was a mess. and so I had the authority outline the whole process, and we made some changes so there'd be more openness about it,
mm-hmm.
fairness. And I can say this at this time, in terms of the rail, you got to review in terms of the makeup of the contract,
mm-hmm.
and whether it follows procedures or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But as a whole, if I may want to respond negatively in terms of any type of contract, a contract can be made to its beneficiary.
Tailored to who
yeah.
you want it.
Right. It can be tailored.
Because in the city's practice, I know personally, in many instances, they allow the potential contractor to write up the specs.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then turn around, yeah. and then he bids for it. Well, you know, it requires that you have to be 9 feet tall with a 10-inch arm fingers.
Right.
Well, guess what? Just so happened, their company only employs 9 feet tall, 10-inch finger people.
You know, with Bart Kane, the former state librarian, years ago, he created this Baker Taylor contract. And he was taken out for lunch, and basically, were there any negotiations
mm-hmm.
for making his contract? And it was a terrible contract, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Even the librarians and at the various libraries were complaining that they were getting orders of books which they didn't request for.
Right.
And they couldn't sit at that. It was a one-way contract whereby you receive the books, therefore no returns, no refunds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I played that song with Tina Turner, the We Don't Need Another Hero. We don't. What we need is people to stop whispering that, be careful, Rod, if you go out and speak out against them. If that is the prevailing climate, then no wonder they can raise our taxes, give a faulty contract, and then we stare down the barrel of a couple billion-dollar gun that might go off any time. And yet we're being careful. So we'll be broke, careful, and frightened. I mean, at some point, back to your statement, we need dignity, and the Constitution affords us many things. And so unless we stop warning, I mean, coming in here and speaking should not be a sentence or a cause for concern that they may levy a stiffer penalty or go dig up dirt on you. I mean, that's un-American.
Now, what I'm going to be doing in the future, the one call called earlier, to be more specific, is I'm going to grab hold of the Constitution of the United States,
mm-hmm.
the Constitution of the State of Hawaii, and the Bill of Rights, and share with people what it is all about.
Yeah.
And so that they know how they want to embrace government.
Well, I don't want people to think that you're coming here and saying that. I will attest that you and I have been talking about for a couple of years of coming out and using and talking about access to government and revenue records and the Constitution and the 1 minute that they afford us to come in. And then if you say the wrong thing, they don't let you speak the minute and throw you out on your nose, you know. Or if they want you to talk, you can talk forever.
Well, you know, I got to tell you this, and I had a nickname when I was in the House of Representatives,
mm-hmm.
and it was called Mr. Sunshine, because I'm the one that opened up the process in terms of the public hearings
mm-hmm.
for agencies from 72 hours to 6 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that reminds me, when I was growing up, my mother used to talk about sunshine or names, and My mother used to call me son. I go, don't do that. Don't call me son. She goes, okay, Moon. So the trick is, it's not in the name. It's who's calling you the name and for what purposes. Sunshine, if it spoke about openness in government. But right now, I believe that the Constitution really doesn't exist in government here. It is not the cornerstone. It is not the foundations. Politicians have strayed away from it. And we hear this mantra of, let's privatize. That's all jive. When in fact, how can you take a core subject such as government and then turn it into privatized matter? You can never get away from the fact that its basis is government. You know, it's our tax dollars. It's not a product that they're selling. It's a service that they're affording us. It makes a big difference, right?
Well, you know, one of the persons who kept on mentioning that when I was a city council was Charles Drew, the former councilman.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to privatize everything.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, what would result is he wanted to eliminate all government employees.
But if I were to ask him, can I hire somebody to represent you as a city councilman, or can I hire somebody to represent you as a congressman, the answer would be no, because he wouldn't be able to get a job anywhere anyway. So there you are. You know, this is just nonsense. And what it is what they're saying is that let's privatize it and insulate ourselves from government oversight, from contractual ethics and all of that. See, by contracting and privatizing it, we insulate ourselves and we strip ourselves scrutiny from the public. We you know, there's another layer in there that you can hide. Right now, they don't give it to you anyway.
Yeah. Well, what he wanted to do was bring back history. Remember the big five companies, Anfac, Dillingham,
mm-hmm.
Castle and Cook? And, well, basically, he, by privatizing, he wants to empower
mm-hmm.
the money makers.
Right.
And then rather than the people.
Right. I believe that anybody that profess or preach privatization should go and work for the private companies and get in a private business and let us be. That's because look what we got. We got people here massaging contracts that didn't stand up to the test, don't meet the smell of it, but yet they want to privatize it.
Well,
you know,
Charles, you said, well, there's no morale and therefore they're not doing their job efficiently, productive in terms of the civil service or the
right.
government employees. I said, you know why there's no morale? Because there's no respect for them.
Right. The public.
Frankly. So what happened is, it's not necessarily in terms of how much you pay them,
mm-hmm.
but it's more in terms of whether they're treated with respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh yeah, it's a little disturbing when we see how all of this is tossed around and we're going to privatize it, and even the rail. Who's actually going to, Hart is going to run it, but they, instead of privatizing it, they insulated themselves by stripping themselves of any conditions of civil service rules and the hiring and what have you. So they're an entity within themselves.
Right, right.
Who ever thought of that?
Well, you know, I recall, now that you mention it, when I went on a trip with former Mayor Murphy Hanneman, they
mm-hmm.
were talking about in terms of how to lay out the administration.
Mm. Oh, I see.
And
so
what came up was in terms of you privatizing it.
Privatizing it.
As compared to having it in-house.
Managed by the city. So that's right. Where the big fight was, why this, when the city council was, there was that tug, city council wanted a say.
Yeah, and there's pros and cons to both sides. But basically, no one ever studied really in terms of whatever combination you may want to have,
mm-hmm.
if any, right,
mm-hmm.
was either one or the other.
Well, would these things now, the current status and the climate, would they we know the cost, what the privatization or the quasi-privatization of the Hart, would that influence you if you knew now, what would that cause you to not vote for it?
Oh, yeah, and mainly the economic side.
Mm-hmm.
Because where's the money coming from?
What about the ethics? And we don't have any. Do we have any control over Hart?
You know, I got a review in terms of that makeup, quite
yeah.
frankly. And since, you know, I concluded as being a councilman in end of December last year.
Right.
And I haven't had the privilege in terms of seeing the documentation. In fact, no matter what anybody prints in the news, you don't have the whole facts.
Well, yeah.
Right? And then, you know, I was taught in school that when somebody says something to somebody verbally and it passed on, sooner or later the whole story changes.
Yeah, right.
You know, you don't have you don't have news media investigators that grab hold on terms of the actual facts nowadays.
It's delving into the facts.
Yeah, it's more like secondhand information passed along.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When I listen to the radio in the morning, I'm driving, and I hear that they say, oh, they got the information from the newspaper. Quite frankly, I said, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Where did the information get this source? They didn't get out there whereby somebody really knew actually what happened.
Right. Yeah, I understand. I mean, so the source, if it's compromised, then why should everyone else be speaking it and disseminating the quote facts?
Right. That's why I have to look in terms of the documentation one.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question, please?
Yes, please. Hear me out. I think I got something very important for all of you. I'm an old bastard, 90 years old, born in a plantation house 900 years ago. I've been around the block. I'm a small investor, so I know what the hell's going on, and I'm with Cam and all the people of goodwill who are concerned about our middle class and the poor, and I have a track record of trying to help them out, too. So please bear with me, because I've been studying this for my own benefit for the last 25 years, a monetary system, and all our problems stem from them. And talk about control, they control every damn thing, just like you folks have been saying. But the control comes from way up in the area, not necessarily locally. And here's my story, and what I have to say is very important, because I've been around, and you don't have to listen to me. I'll give you books that you can go check, I am very concerned, because I hear all this kind of stuff, all the media, everything they say is BS 100%, simply because they are controlled by the money changers. And so is our learning institutions. Every damn dean or whatever worth his salt is a member of the CFR for good reasons, to dumb us all down, okay? And that's why they are very successful in this latest catastrophe that we're going through now, where what they did was all manipulated. It was not an accident. They lower the interest rates, and then they get you, everybody, to get loans, big loans that they cannot afford, and they were encouraged to do so for the simple reason. That's how the dirty, dirty trick is played. Simply because people got to understand that the our money is most our middle class and the poor are carrying this country on their backs. People, and don't believe that 1% business or whatever. For the simple reason, they are the ones that create the loans. They make their loans. Whether the loans come from thin air by the banks, they make them from thin air, but it's put into circulation. And who gets the big money changers and all that, and the manipulators get, that's how they get their money to finance the wars and everything.
Okay.
But the money is put into circulation when you make your loans. That's everybody should know that. I know damn well in this town, I talk to my own CPA and all that. He doesn't know. When you pay your mortgage on your house, we all know that a part of it goes for interest. Nobody knows the other part is just extinguished. That's part of the dirty, most corrupt system the world has ever known. And anyway, now here's something, and here's the gimmick that is used
Real quick, caller. Go ahead.
Okay, wait. I'm going to give you some books where you guys can go check.
Well,
you don't have to listen to me.
Okay.
And
real quickly, we got some other stuff.
What's that?
Go ahead and finish up real quick.
Okay, the first book is Debt Virus, and Truth in Money book. Now, this book, everybody should know this. If you don't know this, you're way out of it. It tells you that when they create this money, the gimmick used right now, that's why all you guys losing your homes and all that, they create the money for you to for the loan, but they do not create any money for interest. What does that do? That causes a shortage in our country. That's where the boom and bust stuff comes in. That's a game they've been using all along. So everybody has to go and scramble to get money, to pay for the interest. And that's where, so there's not enough money now. It's mathematically impossible. The thing doesn't work out. So they got to borrow the money. That's where your big national debt comes in for wrong people. That's where you got your debt that nobody can control, because you have to borrow money to pay interest on interest.
Okay.
And that's where we get our national, that's it. So if you guys want to get educated fast, get the book, The Debt Virus.
And Truth in Money.
And the Truth in Money, wait, one more, figuring out the Fed, landlords of the world.
Okay.
And also, I'm going to tell you this much here. This is very vital. You guys better listen to this. One more. This is for I promise to shut my big mouth.
Okay.
The shadow, they're one of our top leaders. I think they're the number three banana on the poll there. He stated that we are controlled by a shadow government. Now, that's a big, damn stupid statement. Okay, go find out for your own self. It's in the book Alice in Wonderland and World Trade Center Disaster, okay, and by David Icke.
Okay.
Okay, check that and see who wrote that, and this guy is a big banana. It's the top banana, and he tells you that. So what does that mean? We got more or less treason. That's what it is. Our government is controlled by these people.
Okay.
And if you guys do your homework, you'll find it out, like I did, and I'm a solvent person.
Okay.
And I use my money to help the people that my brothers, because that's where I came from.
Okay. Hey,
thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Right.
Well.
Well, you know, if I may, he brought to my mind in terms of something for all of us in the state of Hawaii to consider. You know, we're, like I said, we are in poor financial condition, but individually, it's hardship for us too. And I recommend, in terms of people, try not to use a charge card.
Yeah. Well, that's like saying try not to wear clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, the system is, if you buy a house, you don't have the money. You want to furnish it, you got to pay this and that. That's our system, I think that it wouldn't be a problem paying a charge card if I didn't have to pay an exorbitant amount of money from a sewer.
Well, you know,
or a money on a rail that I won't ride, but I'm going to be taxed and paid for it. So, in government, see, I'm a little concerned when government gets involved in what I should do if I borrow a business card or a credit card. That's my business. Now, if there's someone soaking us through credit cards and all, that's a different thing. But I want my government to manage my affairs, because they're taking my dollars and saying that we're going to do this and manage it properly through this process. That's all I want to hear from government. I don't want to hear what we should be doing in our private lives. You take my money, I should be able to drive down the highway and make it home safely without breaking my wheel or hubcap because of potholes. That's where the problem is, I believe personally. We're straying away from what government is supposed to do and the purpose. They want to meddle in everything and privatize.
Right.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Hey, I got a comment. Carol and Mr. Tan,
mm-hmm.
I was watching the council, I think it was on Friday, I think, and they had something going on about the council was having a committee talking about the QIT for the getting liability insurance for the rail. And Kobayashi was the chair on that committee, and she was asking whoever was testifying for the city, how come that money that we collected from the taxes He didn't go to the general fund and didn't go to the heart people. He went directly to heart, and she said, there's a zero amount. She said, it should be always going to the general fund and then be transferred to the department. Is that proper protocol, Mr. Tan?
Well, basically, you know, it's a matter of how the city wants to set up its books.
Mm-hmm.
They can designate a special fund.
Yeah.
Or they can designate it go to the general budget. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Even if they set it to a general fund, they should have separate books in terms of this 5%.
Right.
Right. It's a matter in terms of how the best efficient and productive way of accountability.
Uh-huh.
And you're right to ask that question, basically, mm-hmm. and so is Councilwoman Ann Kobayashi.
Right.
If she doesn't know, then basically, wow, that's scary.
So the person in accounting did something wrong then? Probably.
Well, not necessarily wrong. It's a matter in terms of how do you account for the funds specifically.
Uh-huh.
You know, I've heard auditors for the private sector, they try to audit the government in terms of city or state, and they say it's a mess.
Yeah.
The bookkeeping is terrible.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Right? And that's why they have this statement when they audit. They said they audit on the basis in terms of what they receive.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, you know the problem with that is that you don't see anybody in the city council saying, we don't want that. It's not going to happen, not on our watch.
Yeah.
Now, that brings me to a caller. Thank you.
Thank you.
That brings me to another question.
Sure.
Specifically, I know Nestor Garcia was chairman of the Transportation Committee.
Yeah.
Okay, and he was also served as a chairman of the council at one time.
Yes.
Correct? So would it be proper to feel and think that there should be an investigation of him in the handling because he would have scheduled or put on the agenda in the Transportation Committee on saldo or related matters of the contract? I don't know, but I got to go back and do some reading. But what if he was actively scheduling and putting on the agenda these items for that relate to Insaldo, and then he was also getting money indirectly or directly from people involved with Insaldo, Insaldo?
You know, you'd be some very interesting questions, basically, but, you know, the way it was done in the legislature before,
mm-hmm.
See, if there was any thought in terms of conflict of interest,
mm-hmm.
The chair would step aside and say, well, I relinquish my chair for this one issue, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the vice chair or some other member conduct the meeting.
But if you're getting some $30,000 from someone directly or indirectly involved in Ansaldo, you wouldn't be inclined to not schedule hearings, I guess.
Yeah, that would be the case, you know. Yeah. And you know, scheduling hearings is at the discretion of the chair,
right,
person of that committee himself.
Is there any hope?
Well, you know,
I don't want to be.
I go back in terms of what I said. People understanding the Constitution state of the United States, the Bill of Rights,
right,
and also the Constitution state of Hawaii. That is your foundation there. Otherwise, we're all blind, quite mm-hmm. frankly. And
okay,
then people will take advantage of it.
Let's say they all go to school and learn the Constitution, learn the Civil Rights and Bill of Rights, voting rights, and all of that. Now they're filled with knowledge, but what do they do? Who's going to listen? I mean, what's the next step?
You got to organize. You got to sing the song, basically, and embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I came from an era whereby in the days of before in the legislature, there were independent legislators.
Mm-hmm.
And be it they call us the radicals or whatever
mm-hmm.
it may be, but we're always looking out for those of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So we question the mode of the day, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, listeners out there will say, and I think would be a fair question, you know, why should they listen to you now? Right, and then what could you offer? I guess not as a selling point or to say, this was you here, this is me now. what, you know, take for example, what was that we were talking, they call you the sunshine, and just speak to these. I think they're come. I think you were being coyish and quite brilliant when you proposed to move the landfill to...
Cocoa Head?
Number one.
Yeah.
What I didn't understand is that when you say we could sleep at work, that when you made that proposal, I thought, that sounds like a good idea, but... And then you had the one of the smelly people. But that's not you. Is it taken out of context, or is it just that the media grabbed it and they're just looking? Talk to us about that. I want to hear from you naturally and lively.
Sure. I appreciate it. All those three were taken out of context by the news media.
How so?
And it, basically the one about Cocoa Head. You know, what happened is, I can tell you openly, I didn't want to say it at that time because I don't want to be prejudiced. But, you know, John Parrish is the one who was frustrated about people shoving the land dump, landfill, out in Everside, because he lives there, right? And so that's his home area, and he didn't want it at Wamanal Gulch either. But so he said, these people from the east, you know, meaning Ainahaina, Hawaii Kai, whatever, Waikiki, I said, they're always pointing fingers at us, you know. Why can't you, Rod, have a public hearing? And he came up with a term, Cocoa Head. And he said, you know, you're the chairman, Rod, for the Public Works Committee, looking in terms of alternative sites.
Right.
I said, yeah, that's true. And, you know, you seem to be a person who is open to ideas. I want you to have a public hearing on that. And I said, wow, you know, what am I going to say? I would say, no, right? We're supposed to have a public hearing process in terms of ideas. So I said, well, you want to open it up? So I said, oh, you know, I want to open up another public hearing to another site. And people have suggested it, so I'm open. Because I didn't choose any particular site. So what happened is, news media took it out of context. Oh, Rod Tam wants Cocoa Head and so forth. And so many of those East people got upset. Right? And Charles DeJu got upset because he didn't know how to respond to that. Well, basic, simple. It's the public hearing process. Ideas come out in a public hearing, right?
Right.
But nobody wants a landfill in the backyard.
Right.
Then the other issue in terms of the taking naps. I was a senator at that time, and I was getting complaints from some employees that said, during my lunch break, I go in my own privacy, and I put my head down, you know, my half an hour or so at lunch, and then my supervisor comes along, and he doesn't like me, because I have some relationship not good, and then he wants to discipline me. But I said, you know, by federal law, that lunch period, that half an hour, is your own time. Right? And you're not working. Right? So basically, I say, well, in observance of the rights of a person according to federal law. And so they started making fun of it because basically the Americans think of working straight 8 hours without any breaks and so forth.
Well, they went at you because that's the art of the game. While dragging you through the muck. Mufi Hanneman gets to have breakfast with the editorial staff.
Yeah.
And then the other folks that serves on his committee that is part of the management, upper management of the paper, you know. So it's like, I have to tell, I don't believe in ascribe to this practice. If I better be quiet because it's going to get better.
Yeah.
Now, if I get quiet, I mean, it might swell up and my head blow up, you know, because of a lot of frustration. But looking backwards, maybe a nap wouldn't be too bad to get away from this craziness and the overburdened taxes, you know.
Yeah. The other.
Good morning, caller. Comment or question?
Good morning. I have a comment.
Go for it.
I say that it's very sad what they did to Mr. Tam and to Reem Wancho. You better step it up and do things right. Take heed of these words. Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha.
The other issue you mentioned, if I may, was the order in the buses. People were complaining to me. Bus drivers would complain. But I guess, you know, no one wants to bring it out. And basically, you know, all they need to do is put air fresheners in the bus.
Right.
And that's all they're called for, right?
Well, but you know what's funny is that nobody's upset. I haven't heard any outrage that all the cameras on the bus.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like Big Brother watches you, you know, but if but anyway, it's a crazy world out there. But are you running for office?
Well, my focus now is trying to get a job. Mm-hmm. To put my family.
I ask that so that they can understand, hear what I see.
The focus is to bring up in terms of the Constitution, United States, Constitution Hawaii, mm-hmm. to educate people so they know what the rights are.
Did the hotel, the business industry offer you a job?
No. I've been looking around and
you didn't get to be appointed as CEO of the hotel?
No.
None?
None at all.
What's wrong?
Well, the news media has created a damper in me also, mm-hmm. too. It's been hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that fundamentally they cannot say, oh, we deny you a job because you've been tried and so forth, right? Mm-hmm. And discrimination.
And with this thing, it's still looming. You're going to go to serve time, on December, what's the date?
December 30th and the 31st.
And then you're working you're doing some public service now. You're working.
Well, going to start, mm-hmm. Yeah, but they basically, I guess it's a message to me, mm-hmm. right? I call it disturbance of the mind.
I applaud you for laughing because if I were to keep account of the number of warnings that I've gotten, I've not gotten any threats. The crooks and the slime don't threaten you. You know, the real ones, they just do you. What's troubling is that, like you, you get warned for, to come out and speak, or people are concerned. That shouldn't be a concern. So that's why I come here every Sunday morning to exercise my rights as a free man, as a free citizen, under the Constitution, and say the heck with anybody that want to muzzle me, because these are my thoughts. These are my facts. And this is my pride, and we, you, me, even though you're going through troubled times now, I would say you're not going to just evaporate, so you've got to have a plan and approach it, and it must be a troubling period of time when your people that at one time dealt with you, now all of a sudden you are treated like scum, but others have violated the law and continue to violate the law, and they get to be represented by the papers as being great candidates.
How
do you feel?
I really believe in democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And being called, I learned it to my schooling from going to elementary school, to Cornell Core, intermediate school, then Roosevelt High School and so forth, mm-hmm. and University of Hawaii. But, be it called brainwashed or whatever, but I really believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm embracing it.
Yeah, you have to. This is one lovely spot on this planet called America.
We criticize in terms of other countries which don't have it. And then we don't practice it.
Right. So you've apologized here earlier in the opening. What are you going to do to demonstrate this, and how does people gauge you from this point on? What to make assurances? What are you giving them? What insurances are you giving them? What would you like to say to them?
Basically, just keep practicing democracy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, for you, though, what are you going to do to make... Because remember, there's always that jaundiced eye.
Okay.
And what are you going to do? What can you share with us that you, Rod Tam, is going to do to ensure us that never, ever again will you breach the trust of the people?
If there's any organizations that mm-hmm. want to embrace their rights, let me know. Give me a call, and I'll help you.
Mm-hmm. Or you will be willing to volunteer and work.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And hopefully your appearance on this show, I just can't imagine anybody would, Chuck Tato and anybody else would go, well, he went out and talked about his matters on radio. Now we're going to really stick it
well,
to him.
Well, actually, that's a violation of the privacy.
Yeah, well, try telling these dudes about violations.
Yeah. Which is why, you know, that Bill 10 that he authored and introduced to the mayor, yeah, to Carlisle, failed because it violated the rights of people.
Mm-hmm.
And the rights of people are those of the employees of the city.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I simply don't know how to address it other than do what I do daily. And if it was any other circumstance, if I didn't know what I know, I'd join in the chorus about you. And I'd be saying all the rude things, and I'd be saying, and I'd be holding your feet to the fire. But it just seems that I know, for example, in this town, how corrupt it is. And the big guys, they get to live in lavish and settings and still get to be invited to have comments in the newspapers. And you know, they're still Mr.
Well, sometimes, you know, if you have money, money talks, right?
Yeah. But
money,
some of these dudes don't have money. They've been stealing.
Yeah.
And that's the
problem. Well, you got to be associated with those in power.
Okay.
But, you know, when you're independent, you face a hard life, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you speak it in terms of what you believe in. In this case, my belief in terms of a formation of government called democracy,
mm-hmm,
you know, the true democracy, which embraces what the instrument I told you about.
Well, and you know that there's always an obligation to the people, whether you're in council, out of council, to walk straight, and especially when there's public interest and public monies, it draws a greater scrutiny.
Yeah.
And so you're giving assurances, are you?
Yes.
This will never repeat itself again.
No. You know, you learn by the mistakes, quite
mm-hmm,
frankly. And again, I'm going to embrace in terms of what I want to do. I want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always done that for years to
yeah,
become.
I don't get into the blessing people, but shame on those that would say, and I hope the unemployment office understands that if your mother is sick, and unless you said to them, I can't work today because I'm taking care of my mother. Unless they can prove that, then they shouldn't even be bothering, because who would dare tell a man that he can't care for his ailing mother or illness or provide, right?
Right. And, you know, basically, if I may say, I see it more of a harassment by
mm-hmm,
office enemies, per se.
Mm-hmm. Caller, real quick, we're going to come down and close it.
Hi. Mr. Tom, I was wondering, after all the years of so many mayors and governors, with you traveling with Murphy Henneman, I would think that you have a great job that he could represent you with. And I'm surprised that you don't have a job with all your connections. As well as, how could one reach you in the future? Thank you very much.
Yeah, you know, I guess I'm not a close tie in terms
mm-hmm,
of the alliances,
mm-hmm,
right? And basically, like I said, I am rather independent.
Okay? Well,
but you can reach me on my cell,
mm-hmm,
216-5454. And once again, I'm available to help different interest groups
mm-hmm,
in terms of lowering their rights so that they can participate in government better.
Well, Rod, thank you. We're coming down on the close, and I appreciate you joining me. And feel free anytime. And those of you that didn't like my line of questioning or how it went, tough, because I invited you, and Rod was here willing to answer all the hard-hitting, probative insults. He said, I'm coming. He's not Teflon man, and I don't want to make light of a situation that, well, you hear me talk about public trust and people violating it. But I do appreciate you coming in and sharing with us and letting the listeners know. And anytime if you want to come back in and talk, I want to speak more about the rail than as we go look for those records. So thank you.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right.
Take care.
Aloha.
Bye.